This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. Now, many of us are familiar with trying to convince or help our older family members to use technological devices like smartphones or smart watches. And some of them, of course, learn how to use these devices fairly quickly. In fact, you know, they get hooked on them, but others may need some help. Some of them may even be more averse to using them, and really it all depends on individuals and the type of technology. But all of this is not just about convenience for our senior citizens. Assistive technology can be extremely helpful to monitor the health and well-being of senior citizens, especially if they have serious health issues or if they spend a lot of time alone. So I want to find out more today from consultant geriatrician Dr. Hakima Mohamad Salehuddin from University Putra Malaysia's Teaching Hospital, as well as Associate Professor Dr. Fakhrul Zaman Rokani, Head of the Geron Technology Program at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging, or My Aging, also from UPM. How are the both of you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Doing well, thank you, Shrey.
Thank you so much for your time today. Perhaps, Dr. Fakhrul, if you could start by explaining what Geron Technology is so that we're all on the same page, and what kind of work is My Aging doing with your Geron Tech unit?
Okay, well, our world is experiencing unprecedented demographic shift, right? So number of older adults or older person increases, in some countries, older persons expected to outnumber children. And we've seen statistics in Malaysia alone, we are at 2.2 million of older person, which is 7% of the total populations in Malaysia. And the other issues of aging is actually we are seeing growing care gap, as in shortage of caregiver. So in the past, where the birth rate and life expectancy is low, older person have many children to take care of them. And but these days, more common we see family caregivers caring more than one elderly person or elderly relatives at the same time. So here comes Geron Technology. So Geron Technology as an inter or multidisciplinary field that combines gerontology and technology. And that includes assistive technology as well as inclusive design from the architecture and interior design perspective. And all these are aiming towards the the need of aging and older adults. And it may be big words, but it doesn't mean that it's giving the older adults big buttons and loud audio. It means that we put older adults and carers at the center of the design process so we can actually aim to meet their needs better. So at My Aging, Geron Technology Program is among the three programs that we offer to postgraduate students alongside with medical gerontology and social gerontology. To dive deeper, basically we drive precision aging, where we seek the use of advanced technology in personalizing elderly well-being. By doing so, we actually account that every individual are not the same, and there's a variability between them. Just to give some problem there, in terms of the current practice, we see challenges such as late diagnosis, self-assessment, and one-size-fits-all devices. We actually advocate to enable prevention and early detection here. We want to give assessment that is closer to the subject and more continuous and objective. And we work, end-to-end solution from the sensor design to the system, digital twin model, which is the AI model for predictive and prescriptive AI. You know, some examples would be like fall detection devices, some service robots, smart home, smart walker, Alzheimer tracking, And of course, we can talk more as this conversation transpires.
Okay. And exactly in which areas of some of these that you've described, in which of these areas is My Aging already doing research on or has come up with some solutions?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, we have been working on prototyping devices such as fall detection devices. We have a contactless delivery robot, especially to address COVID-19. We are working on smart walker, giving intelligence to the walker, Alzheimer patient tracking, and even smart home as well.
All right. So, Dr. Hakima, from your perspective, you are the one dealing with the older patients and with their caregivers as well. Dr. Fakhru already talked about some challenges like diagnosis, late assessment. Now, can we look at it in terms of how older patients are coming to you? What are the issues that are most prevalent that is disrupting reducing their quality of life and making it difficult to ensure optimal care for them?
Right. Okay, so as per Dr. Fakhru said, we are actually in the aging society once we step into 2020. And up until 2046, we will be an aged country, actually, where we have 15% of our population will be older people. So the thing is, what is assistive technology? It is a device or system that support the diverse activities of older adults. But more important question would be, why assistive technology? So we understand as we get older, we have reduced sensory. So we have reduced sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of vision. You know, we've got hearing impairment, diminished mental faculties. We got slower reaction times, that make it quite challenging to live independently. So the most important issue when as we age is muscle weakness and instability and leading to fall. Okay, so fall itself is actually the second cause of unintentional injury death, okay, worldwide. So the first cause would be MVA, the second cause is fall. In Malaysia itself, 1 in 7 older adults more than 60 years old fall at least once a year, right? So if you combine as a statistic, it's actually 300,000 older people actually fall in a year in Malaysia. That's not surprising that a lot of actually technology focusing on fall, because if they fall, they die. This might be a preventable death. So among other issues that is prevalent among older people are Alzheimer's disease and being bedbound. Okay, so if they're bedbound, there are some challenges like pressure ulcers. There's an ulcer at the area where you don't move, and there's a bony area where you can got some infections there. Okay, so among the devices that we can use in the home, it's like CCTV. CCTV is one of the monitoring devices. We can have pendant alarm. Okay, so let's say if you fall down and then you might want to call someone to help, but you cannot move towards your telephone. So you have the pendant alarm, so you just turn that button on and then you reach for someone for help. Smoke detector. Smoke detector is actually a very traditional technology, but it's important because we see in the news that older people burnt in their house because they lack sense of smell. And if they have the sense of smell, they have diminished movements, walk slowly, and then their vision is not good at night. Okay, so that's why you need that smoke alarm. As simple as that, actually, it can be life-saving. Automatic light motion sensors. Basically, if you stand up from your bed at night, you cannot locate where's the light. So whenever you move, and then the light motion sensors actually sense your movements and then turn up. So it's quite useful to prevent fall, okay, especially at night.
Okay, so we've really covered quite extensively the kinds of technology that can prevent falls, and that's a major problem. Anything else, Dr. Fakhrul, that you'd like to add since we were talking about the different types of assistive technology available?
Yeah, I guess, assistive technology cover a broad range of devices. It could be adaptive. It could be rehabilitative as well. It could be as simple as a spoon to help, Parkinson's disease, older person. You could have, buttons or wearables that actually monitor the older person in terms of vital signs, in terms of the activity. And, it can predict whether the state of physical or mental are they good or are they deteriorating?
All right. So let's go for a quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about wearables. And I guess also start to look into how we can work with our senior citizens to get them to accept these technologies and to know how to use it, so that really it's quite a two-way process rather than the children forcing it on the older parents, and then having to go back and forth with them. So let's come back and explore a little bit more about getting the older person to accept these technologies and how really they can see it as improving their lives as well. I'm speaking to Dr. Hakima Mohamad Salehuddin, consultant geriatrician from University Putra Malaysia's Teaching Hospital, as well as Associate Professor Dr. Fakhrul Zaman Rokani, head of the Geron Technology Program from My Aging UPM. Stay tuned, we'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. On Zoom with me today are my guests, Dr. Hakima Mohamad Salehuddin, consultant geriatrician from University Putra Malaysia's Teaching Hospital, and Associate Professor Dr. Fakhrul Zaman Rokani, head of the Geron Technology Program at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging, or My Aging, at University Putra Malaysia. Before the break, Dr. Hakima and Dr. Fakhrul have described some very innovative as well as some pretty traditional assistive technologies that can be used to address challenges that older people face in terms of their daily routines as well as their health and safety. So a major issue that Dr. Hakima talked about is falls among older adults. 1 in 7 older adults in Malaysia fall once a year, and that comes up to 300,000 people who experience falls a year, which can be very debilitating and can affect their health and their lifespan greatly as well. So things like fall detection devices, pendant alarms you talked about, light motion sensors, when somebody gets up, when it's dark, middle of the night, that light will automatically turn on. And Dr. Fakhrul, you talked about wearables to monitor older persons in terms of their vital signs, their activities. I think this sounds really interesting because wearables are pretty much routine in our most of our urban communities, at least now. And looking at the pandemic right now, and the MCO restrictions and some senior citizens having to stay alone while their adult children are not able to be with them. What's the role of wearables in terms of ensuring the health and well-being of senior citizens who are alone right now? Dr. Fakhrul?
All right. So as we know, wearables is not so much alien to many of us, the younger generations. And, the wearables have been monitoring our, perhaps our heart rate, our sleep level, our stress level, oxygen level, and many things. And to the elderly, it's not so much different as well. And we are seeing an uptick, a good uptick for the elderly, taking or using wearables right now. And of course, there are issues or there are concern to be fearful of things that you don't fully understand, right? So and we are seeing some hesitation of the elderly of doing that. But majority, we are seeing a good move towards adopting a wearable. Especially, we are looking at many of the elderly are now in COVID-19 pandemic situation. They are actually online. They are on social medias. And there are increasing number of smartphone usage. And I think a very good example is MySejahtera. There are many elderly are adopting that. So for the wearables, I think although it is something that is new to the elderly, but there will be a good uptick in the future.
Okay. Dr. Hakima, you want to add on?
So I'm going to add on because wearables somehow is not fashionable. So that's the thing. And it has a, the interface is not user-friendly sometimes. So some older people doesn't like to wear it like a watch, you know, things like that, a big bulky watch. Sometimes they feel that it's heavy, you know, things like that. So if you can make it like a more fashionable things and more easy, user-friendly to be used, they might be able to use it. Another thing that you got a good point just now, saying that the family members forcing them to use it rather than they are voluntarily wants to use it. Okay. So this is actually, it should go hand in hand between independence and safety. Okay, so there's a good intention of the family members for the older people to wear the wearable so that they are safe. But then in part of the older people, they feel they are not independent. Someone is watching them, you know, someone is monitoring them, someone is restricting their movement. So the best is to sit together and then see how much they can actually tolerate their independence with safety. Okay. So so that the older the family members can have peace of mind as well, so that they know if my parents fall down at home, he knows how to reach the family members. Okay, so things like that. And always remember that people with dementia actually can make decisions. Okay, so so wearable, sometimes we put like a GPS tracker. So we put it on the people with dementia so to avoid them from getting lost. Like we want them to be independent. For example, we want them to be independent in a shopping mall so that they can just browse around. But we don't want them to get lost in that big shopping mall. Okay, so what you do is you can put a GPS tracker, like indoor tracker, or like a perimeter fencing. If they go out of that perimeter, you know, some signal will send to your phone somehow that they are actually out of reach. Okay, something like that. So whenever you want to put these wearables on them, you have to actually talk to them whether it is okay, and at the end they must agree. Okay, they must agree. So that there's no friction between them, okay? And then the older people must understand that this is actually for their safety, and at the same time to ensure that they are independent as much as they can.
All right. And we've talked about it in the context of the home setting, the community setting where our senior citizens are doing their daily routines. But what about in the healthcare system, in the hospitals, Dr. Fakhrul? How would assistive technology come in to ensure better care for senior citizens?
Okay. In the hospital and in some nursing homes that we have been working with, major issues is actually fall. You know, patients actually, when they walk within the hospital wards, they fall. And sometimes they actually lose track of where they are going, especially of the Alzheimer's disease patients, and, you know, can't get back to their beds. So assistive devices such as fall detection, you know, you can have electronic devices that you can put on the bed and detect whether the elderly person actually move away from their bed. And you can also put sensors on the floor to detect whether, you know, the person starts moving away from the bed, right? And in one of our project, we have worked out an RFID system for the Alzheimer patient, where we can track whereabouts of this Alzheimer patient. And you know, as this Alzheimer patient passed through different parts of the homes or nursing homes or even hospitals, we can actually know where they are. And this helps us or the caregiver, helps the caregiver to locate and bring them back if they are lost.
Macam like a smart tech like that lah.
Exactly.
So again, falls, right, Dr. Hakima? Again, such an important issue in the safety of older patients. And sensors or devices like this must be a huge help to healthcare staff, especially nurses, who typically, I think, the burden is on them to ensure the safety of the older patients. Can you describe a little bit more about the hospital setting? And apart from falls, what are some other issues where assistive tech would be very, very helpful?
Right. So in a hospital setting, older people are basically divided into three. So one, they are really ambulatory, like normal. Okay. So another one is people who are deconditioned. Deconditioned mean when they fall sick, they become weak. So when they walk, they become imbalanced. These are the people who are actually at highest risk of fall. The third category would be the bedbound. Okay. So the bedbound and the people who are ambulating well, they're no problem. They might not be falling. So the most important thing is the middle one. Okay. So the weakness. The people with weakness. So falls in the hospital, usually we aim towards this group who are actually mobilizing well at home, but they are weak in the hospital. So what they tend to do is they are actually doesn't have an insight that they are weak, so they just stand up and walk feeling that they are at home. Okay, so these are the people who are at risk, so they need these sensors. Okay. So like Dr. Fakhrul said, we put sometimes sensors on the bed or a mat, sensor mat on the floor, so that when they stand up, the sensor would trigger an alarm to the nurses that, oh, the patient is actually standing up, okay, or the patient is actually sitting up. Okay, so another thing is in terms of rehabilitation in the hospital. So these people who are actually fall sick in the hospital, they need to regain their strength before they go home and be at their baseline strength. Okay, so we can use like exoskeleton, okay, for rehabilitation, and we have a transfer devices, so to help with transfer while they are rehabilitating, right? So remember that I talk about the patient who are bedbound. Okay, so these patients who are bedbound in the hospital, they are at risk of pressure sores, or we call it pressure ulcers, where you got a wound at the back, in the foot, in the heel, you know, things like that. Okay, so they are called pressure relieving mattress. So whenever it will put some pressure and relieve pressure. It's like alternating pressure mattress to prevent the pressure sore. And another technology would be they need the 2-hourly turning. Okay, so some countries have this technology whereby it helps the nurses when the 2-hourly turning was done by technology.
So all of this sounds really impressive, but also futuristic. And I know, Dr. Fakhrul, you said you are doing research, you are looking at implementing these. But when it comes to making it accessible for society at large, especially if we're talking about a really significant proportion of our population who fall into that age group, is it expensive? How can we ensure that it can be equitably accessible for all of our old people, Dr. Fakhrul?
Okay. Accessible is always an issue with technology adoption, and among other factors of acceptability or accessibility of technology is cost, this can be prohibitive. To a certain extent, that some of the technology can cost as much as the laptop. Other factors include customization, or the device are not designed to to be customized for the older person, right? So it's always one size fits all. And one other major factor is actually these devices are not easy to use. It requires some training. So, there's a learning curve for this elderly. And we see that with this digital divide, among older person, so we see more and more, accessibility of this device. And, turning this around, inventors and many startups have started designing these devices, assistive technology devices, with the older person in mind, where they look at the user experience. They look at, can we simplify the user experience? Can we have a very simplistic user interface? A good example of this technology are like a smartphone, where, it's touch rather than you have a keyboard, right? So now we have more and more innovators that, design that is so inclusive, such that it makes the technology seamless to be used by the older person.
Dr. Hakima, how should a conversation between family members and their older relatives go, especially when it comes to getting them to accept? Like you said, you can't force them to use it or to adopt it. You need to talk to them. But I'm very sure some of the feedback from the older adults would be, why are you making things more troublesome? Or why are you spending so much money on these things? How do we convince our older relatives that there is a longer term and the benefits are not just something concrete? You can't see them in dollars and cents, but the benefits are peace of mind. The benefits are, alleviating the burden in terms of healthcare expenses and things like that.
So actually, in the contrary, they want to trade the wearables or the technology with something they really want. For example, a lot of older people nowadays doesn't want to live with their children. Okay, they want to live independently in their own house. Just take example, recurrent fallers. Okay, so people who are falling recurrently at their own home. Usually the doctor said, oh, it's not safe for you to stay in your own home. You have to move with your children. And they are basically reluctant to move in. Okay, because the house has a lot of memories. That's where they got married. That's where they raised their children. So they don't want to move from their house. They want to be independent. They want to live alone. So basically what we can tell the family members is that, look, you have these wearables, let's say an alarm, a bracelet or a pendant alarm. You can use it. If, let's say, you fall down, then you can just press a button and then it will straight away send an alarm to the children. Okay, so it's easily picked up. Okay, a lot of things that prevent fall is easily picked up, like motion sensors. Okay, it's easily picked up. Alzheimer's disease patient who likes to be independent. Okay, basically they are able to pick up all these wearables. Okay, the problem is they forgot to wear it. Okay, they want they're okay with the wearable, but the problem is they forgot to wear it. Okay, so that's where your technologies basically needs to be tailored according to the stages of dementia. Let's say if you talk about dementia people. Okay, so the thing that they don't need to take it off, or the thing that is like water resistant, okay, so that they don't need to take it off and then put it back, things like that. Okay, so when we talk about this this acceptability among older people, basically they are not really resistant towards it, just that they need more understanding on why you should do it, and the motives are actually independence. Okay, so you're more independent and you are safer. Okay, so you can stay in your home. It's okay if you fall, just push this button. Okay, things like that.
Just to add from that, in our experience at My Aging Institute, we work with older person and trying out our prototypes. We invite them to come to the institute and try out our latest prototypes and, in fact, give comments to these prototypes, right? And from our interaction with them prior to the pandemic, we see that the older persons are actually excited to have these devices. And as what Dr. Hakimah mentioned, it's because of the independence. They like to age in place. And I think with that in mind, and if they the older person, weights independence more than anything, they would adopt that.
All right, great. Well, I'm so glad you corrected my misconceptions then. So if receptiveness and acceptance isn't that big of a challenge as I had imagined, what are the obstacles that we need to overcome, let's say, moving forward to implement this, more widely in our population?
I think the major thing would be the cost. The cost, as we have discussed, could be very expensive, especially with these special sensors and the systems and some subscription business model involved, right? So, we should actually look into the cost and how and probably work towards reducing it, probably locally develop, right? Locally develop these devices and supply that or customize that to our local needs. I think the other issue would be rural areas or areas that is having a digital divide, right? So where the internet connection has an issue. So in these areas, perhaps the uptake of this digital device or assistive technology would be low, simply because of the network coverage. Because mostly of these devices require some form of connections to the wireless and uploading this data into the clouds. And, there's some AI happening there. So mostly I'm seeing cost and digital divide in certain areas.
So what would you like to urge maybe startup companies, maybe telcos, other stakeholders who can actually play a role in enabling these costs to be brought down, in enabling it to be tailored and made more accessible? What would you like to see from other players in the industry, perhaps?
Well, talking about the connectivity, I think the government is doing a great job trying to improve the connectivity, especially now the pandemic happens and many activities are happening at home rather than at the office. And apart from connectivity, it's about driving down the subscription of that connectivity. And I believe the telco, together with the government, can work out a good solution to this. On the startup, perhaps the current startups that work or design devices that is for other segments of population, other than the older adults, they are skewed towards the requirements of that segments, right? And by a simple tweaking to understand further the requirements, the real requirements of these older persons or older adults, you can actually design a better devices and drive down the cost. Because as you do more studies on what they actually really need, then you can really understand what are the requirements, what are the real sensors that you can put in. And in fact, with the industry revolution of 4.0, There are many devices being manufactured, many sensors, and we can find a good substitute to the current devices. And I think at my aging, what we are trying to do also, we are actually looking into utilizing cloud and utilizing AI such that, you know, to have a model that can reduce costs whereby, you know, we don't actually need the doctors upfront. So we can have, you know, a sort of a layer to predict the health of this older person. And if this is, if they need further advice, you know, they can actually see the consultants and so on. So, you know, by having an AI, it can actually drive down this cost.
And to make the job of somebody like Dr. Hakimah easier, I suppose. You wanted to add something, Dr. Hakimah?
Yeah, so I was saying that the advancements of gerund technology should go hand in hand with our goals. Okay, so the goal is for gerund technology is basically to improve social, mental and physical health, well-being of older people. So basically when we age, we want the older people to go out to the community. Okay, so aging in place, inclusive aging. Okay, so there's no point having a technology in the home and you cannot go out. Okay, so the the people who are recurrent fallers, okay, so they have a lot of technology with them. So let's say they have a walking stick with a Bluetooth button there saying that if their walking stick fell down means they are falling down as well there. So they just put that button that saying that giving an alarm to someone. Okay, so basically the aim is to go out. Okay, so when we have like motorized wheelchair, okay, so for older people who are falling and they need to go out by using a wheelchair so they can have the motorized wheelchair. But the thing is, we have to think again, is our city is actually age-friendly city. Okay, so is our city actually safe for all the people who are recurrent fallers? Okay, so because if we have, we still have high curbs, let's say our, you know, the cover of the drain can still trap your wheel inside that. So, you know, even the cyclists, when they cycle, the wheel can be trapped in the drain cover. So, and, you know, it increases the risk of fall. So these are the things that, you know, should go hand in hand with technology. Okay.
Okay. Well, can I, you know, so it's not for lack of technology, really. It's more about the environment around our senior citizens and how we can ensure that the technology works in hand in hand with their needs and their challenges.
Yeah, you cannot just put a lot of advancements in the gerund technology, but then you forget the environment as well. So they end up falling anyway.
That's right. Well, fortunately, we're running out of time. Perhaps I could get a final message from each of you, Dr. Fakhrul.
At my aging, we hope to continue stimulate this interest in technology solutions, especially assistive devices, gerund technology, in addressing the older adults' well-being, and we hope actually to become a platform for researchers to work hand in hand with the industry practitioners and caregivers to develop cutting-edge technology solutions. And we are driving the precision aging technology, where you know, one size we shouldn't go for one size fits all, and we should customize this technology. And I think we all aware that we are getting older day by day, and one day we might be the consumer of this technology that we developed today.
Dr. Hakimah?
Yeah, so actually we are looking forward for more collaborations. Yeah, so as a geriatrician, we see a lot of older people actually are open up for technology. They want their independence, even though they know that they are having dementia, you know, as day goes by, they need more assistance. Okay, so assistive technology basically help them in retaining their independence for as long as they can, right? Okay, so we hope to have a lot of collaboration with engineers like Dr. Fakro. So, and then, we have a lot of patients with fall as well. So hoping for a lot of technology coming into our patients.
All right, great. Thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts and your time with me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Hakimah Mohamad Salehuddin, Consultant Geriatrician at University Putrahan Malaysia Teaching Hospital, as well as Associate Professor Dr. Fakro Zaman Rokani, Head of the Geron Technology Program at My Aging UPM. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.